Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast. It's all up in your bomb tag. Big J kills them like OJ Simpson. A quick hit the fingerless glove, don't get hit break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, Legion of Skanks.
Welcome to the Clash!
Three, two, one, we're going.
Right, we count down this ever? We usually just are going.
We're going, no, boys.
It's a new thing. We're doing countdowns now.
We're going. Do we have people listening anymore?
I did like when we had people in the Zooms. Alex, why aren't we inviting people to our stream yards?
I think there's a way we can without having them all in the way of when I'm screen sharing. I haven't figured it out yet. I'll get people in next week. And you know what? That's a guarantee.
Wow. Ooh. I like it, Alex.
See, that was, Lewis was about to be annoyed, but then you saved it with your Lewis bravado at the end. All you ever got to do is that's by the way, the key to Lewis whispering, to taming Lewis, is just always end whatever the issue is with like a declarative guarantee. Yeah.
I guarantee rise and grind, doggy. Like, all right, I like it. Okay.
So. Guarantees 100%.
Yeah. Anything like, you got to just go way over the, you go, let me tell you when this won't be a problem. Tomorrow. I stake my reputation on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Lewis will go, all right. So that's the type of declarative statement we need around here.
I do like that. I do like a fucking guarantee. I guarantee.
Oh, Lewis, you got into my head so much about something that made me laugh.
What did I get in your head about? Good or bad?
It's funny. It's a funny thing that it was when I said, so I forget who I was talking to, but and they were asking me where, you know, they go, you moved? Like, how far away are you? And I was like 30 minutes away. And you were like,
the lie that you spread.
I'm starting to think. Then I asked Bobby Kelly where he's at. He says an hour or less.
He's like, dude, 46 minutes straight. Yeah, Bobby Kelly's in Albany.
Yeah, but everybody does that. Dave's out there. But it is, I think I understand why this is universally done.
Why?
It's because you've made one of the biggest decisions of your life. And even you with moving out to Jersey, Lewis, forget even like not owning your place just yet, but like just moving out there. It's like you don't want anyone to give you any, like to play on that one flick inside of you. It was like, did I move too far out? Is this going to be a pain in the ass the rest of my life? So you don't want any negativity from anybody else. So you always just try to make it like, dude, it's borderline 15 minutes to my house.
It's basically the Bronx.
I live about 40 minutes drive.
Well, I mean, when before you leave the city, if you can actually, you're not being wrong, because right before you get on the bridge, while you're still technically in New York, it's like 13 minutes on the fucking thing.
Sure.
Like for me, like literally when I write, so technically I can say that I'm 15 minutes from New York City when there's no traffic.
Oh, yeah. You got to take that time off. I used to, when I lived in New York City, I was on a third floor walk up. That's a minute right there of walking upstairs.
Sure.
I'm going to take that off too. Yeah.
But it really is that you're looking for that lie because you don't want anyone to give negativity to the decision you've made.
Well, the people, the never leave New Yorkers are fucking retarded. They're retarded human beings.
Who's that? Is that a group?
No, they're like, my son's mother was that way until she moved. I think this year she'd been here for like 4 years, maybe. She got to New York, or she got to New Jersey maybe 6 months to a year after I left, because I was commuting back and forth. This is probably the first year where she was like, no, this is a good decision. I'm happy. But like the whole time she was like bitter. She would like look at her yard and be like, I have a yard. I was like, what is wrong with you?
The fuck is wrong yard. With
you? She's like, I love having my wall shared with people that beat their children. I get to listen to it every morning.
Dude, I really, the whole concept of New York City now, particularly New York City, when I drive around there during the day and see like exactly like the elderly who live there and go out and that's like their lifestyle. It's just, God bless them, dude. But I mean, I feel like I'm a 90-year-old when I walk around the city. I'm like, teenagers, ethnics.
Who's like gray haired in New York City? I just assume that they lost their marbles in like the 70s. They're just like lunatics. You see like an old lady like just walking across the street with a cane. You're like, this poor old lunatic, where'd she escape from?
Sort of, yeah, yeah. There was a guy named Donald who used to live in our East Village building. And he was like 90.
It's a great building.
And he's an old actor. He was an old actor. He was not bad. That was good. That's pretty good. I didn't catch it at first. But he was just an old like actor. Like stage actor from back in the day, you know, thespian, wore a beret. Just one of those kind of guys. Oh, it made total sense that he lived there, but it was also like, what a fucking just lousy. He lived a fourth floor of a like four floor walk up. He was 90 fucking years old. It just like his day to day just looked uneventful and sad almost.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that it's like, you know, like you ever see like there'll be like a video of like a war torn area. But then, like, outside, like, some kids will be kicking a soccer ball around, and there'll be, like, a little guy with, like, a stand. Because, like, human beings just, whatever, yeah, you know, like, human beings just, you adapt. Whatever your situation is, you're like, all right, well, I guess this is life now. And that's basically the entirety of living in New York City. You just go, yeah, there's a schizophrenic person taking a shit on my stoop, but, like, you walk around him, and then you get to where you got to go. And then, once you walk around him,
there's a Crate and Barrel two blocks away. It's pretty crazy.
Like, but, like, once you don't have that, you're just like, oh, I was choosing to put up with that.
But can like I tell you what, I'm not one of these people and I still get weirdly defensive about New York. So you remember Matty Jester Schultz?
Sure.
Of course, yeah.
So he, you know, he stopped essentially doing the podcast with Shannon because he didn't want to come into New York. After the pandemic, he didn't go crazy. That's the wrong way to put it. He just was like, dude, it's fucking dangerous. It's fucking, you know, there's homeless people everywhere. You're going to get stabbed. And like when people say that, I was like, dude, it's not like dangerous. Like, it's no more dangerous than it ever was. Maybe, I guess, there's a few percentage points where it clicked up, where it was like a little more dangerous.
The crime went up. Crime went up pretty substantially, like in 2020, 2021.
For pussies.
Yes.
I'm not afraid of being murdered in New York City. There's no part of that.
It'd be a concern for me about having my family live there. It wouldn't be a concern for me about going in to do a podcast.
Right.
Like that's right. It's still a very unlikely thing that anything's gonna like happen to you.
Beatrice was attacked twice in front of James, but she also wanted to live. She wanted to live amongst the blacks. It was like a crazy way to
be in front of James.
What happened where she was attacked? I think you told me one of these stories. Where the girl was like holding the door or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, and this makes me so fucking. This makes my blood boil. It's making my fucking blood boil. They were in the deli, like right by their house in Harlem. And like, you know, I guess James is like four at the time, like a little, and you remember how cute fucking James was, little innocent, cute, sweet fucking baby James. So just cute. The sweetest little fucking boy you'll ever meet. Like he's still sweet, but he has a big fucking tall dickhead now. He's just fucking, it's not cute the same way he was. Still handsome, but not cute.
Boy.
Scratches his balls. Fuck you, James. So fucking.
Fuck you getting older, James.
It's fucking infuriating. But when he was four, dude, he was just the fucking most adorable, sweetest kid you'll ever meet, right? Kind of like Layla was just fucking really right. Sweet. You know what I'm saying? Like sweet as pie. Isabella's always been mean to me, but you know what?
Isabella had a sarcastic edge to her.
Yeah.
She really did.
She was always like, great pants, dude. You're, like, you're three. You're 3 years old.
Isabella was a ball bust.
Was a ball buster. So, but like James was like, I mean, just couldn't be any more sweet. And they go into the deli, and I guess James, I don't know if he like pushed by this like teenage girl, like 15-year-old girl. But the girl goes to James in front of Beatrice. She's like, you can say, excuse me. And Beatrice is like, he's four. Like, what are you doing?
She said, two James.
Yeah, yeah. And then the girl started like getting in Beatrice's face because Beatrice said something. And then James like, look, Beatrice told me the story and James looked up there and he was like, I did say, excuse me, mommy. Like just sad. Aww. And like, just fuck. Oh, it's making me fucking mad. I'm going to hit a black person today. I'm going to find a black
Whatever black person you see, that is the one who did that.
Yeah, dude. Fucking, they did something. They did something at one
point. That's them, Mayor Adams.
You stole my wallet in 1987.
So yeah, but like, so then the girl like literally followed them back to the house or to the apartment and like wouldn't let Beatrice close the door to the apartment. She put like her foot in the door to the apartment and like, you know, it's like, but like, it was very aggressive. And then another time Beatrice was getting on the subway with James and I guess she kind of like, you know, just you kind of shuffle into the subway. And another, and it's so funny when you like, but since when are black people so like about fucking etiquette? Are you out of your fucking minds? The girl was like, she was like,
you're
don't be pushing into me.
Excuse me. They don't know how to say the word though still. Yo, excuse me, you supposed to say.
Yo, let me ask you a question. Why don't you say excuse me?
Yo, why ain't your kid got no polite manners?
Dude, I like the Friday night hang. We get nice and racist. So, yeah, then I don't know if it escalated into her, the girl hitting Beatrice, but I think she tried to, or she like shoved her, grabbed her by the hair. I think that's what it was, like in front of James, like real fucking crazy shit. And I'm like, Beatrice, you gotta fucking, what are you doing? We had like, even at that time, it's not like I was like rich at all, but I had enough money where I was like, no, get out of that neighborhood. Let's just find you an apartment in Gramercy. But she just, whatever it was, it was a point of pride for Beatrice to live amongst the blacks. It was like, fucking, what's the woman who lived in the with the apes?
Jane Goodall.
She was Jane Goodall energy.
Coco? Beatrice was attacked by Coco?
Say excuse me to Coco.
It really, that is a funny thing when that comes, the particular thing comes to bite you in the ass. Because again, it's simple to be, it's the fear of being like called something is all it is. You know, it's like that old Patrice joke. Like if you're a white dude and you see a bunch of black dudes coming down the street the opposite way, he goes, you can cross the street.
Yeah, just cross the street, live.
Cross the street. Yeah, live. Like, yeah. He's like, just go. Cause he was, his thing is bad. Like if you saw the bald white guys, you wouldn't think they were a bunch of cancer.
I don't want him to think I don't want to think I'm racist.
Yeah.
You'll be alive. What are you talking about? Who cares?
Just go home. And it is sort of that idea where it's like, you know, you want to believe that you have the goodness in you. It's like,
she had the goodness in her.
But you know what I mean? Like, as far as like,
it does seem
you want to like, go, I understand you want to go. It's like, I'll live in a black neighborhood. I don't care. I'm not racist like that. He goes, that's just a poor decision.
Well, it's crazy to me. And like, this is, and I have, especially like, and I was not this way at all before I had kids, but since having kids, I'm very conservative about these things, but like
devout racist now.
No, I'm not a devout racist. I just don't want to live amongst them. No, but I just, listen, the thing is, if there's, I'm not saying anything terrible is going to happen to you if you live in Harlem. Probably not. But like something like that, what you just described, is like, it becomes like a 50-50 shot, maybe. Yeah,
that's on the horizon.
If you're white, and I would say even a higher chance. If you're a maybe goofy white guy, 75% chance somebody's going to fuck with you at one point.
Yeah,
just fuck you. Not necessarily beat you up or rob you, but you're going to be called, hey, white boy, you know, just some weird aggression where you're going to have to fuck
you
on the chin.
Where I live, it is as close to a 0% chance that that will ever happen. And whatever that is, that little moment of like, if I'm not around and one of my kids watching their mom get their hair pulled or something like that, or just my wife getting her hair pulled. So that is so much more of a priority to me than almost anything else. Like, I'd live in a shittier house. I'd live in a smaller, I'd live in a neighborhood I don't like as much if that was just not going to happen.
One of my favorite things that you crazy. Said, Dave.
Sure.
Yeah. Sorry, that's how you get to Dave's heart too, by the way. Like, Dave, one of my favorite things that you've ever said. First,
if I, you saw me in real time. I went, hey, could you not fucking interrupt me? I said something great. Go ahead. No, the floor is yours.
We all know each other so well.
Lewis, you were in the middle. Lewis, I feel like you're losing your point. You were in the middle of saying something.
One of my favorite things you said was when you were looking at like the stats for your neighborhood, it was like, you know, schools were like A+. You know, fucking
everything was an A+.
Everything was A+, and then it said diversity was like a C-, and you were like,
an A+. That's the one. That's when you're Jay. That's when you're down three, and you got two shots at the line. We're gonna miss that second one on purpose.
Yeah.
We're missing the diversity score on purpose. We're trying to get that one off the rim. if we can.
Shit.
Oh, you don't want to move here, Jimmy. I can't imagine. There's no other black people. Oh,
it's terrible. Well, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine valuing in the hierarchy of things that are important, valuing like not being viewed as a racist more than valuing not putting yourself in a situation like that for your kids. There's, sure, I don't think it's a liberal value that I can't understand.
Well, the psychotic belief of that is that, like, if you just go, I don't want to live in Harlem, I don't think you're immediately considered a racist.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was
like,
a weird
I'm
thing.
I'm gonna live somewhere not that's like.
Well, also, Harlem black. Is you know, for a black.
Not all black.
It's, not, really. It's not even all black, really. To be honest with you, if where we were at in Harlem, which was 118th and Frederick Douglass, that's where my apartment was. I had a doorman building, like beautiful. It's all white people in the building, but it was in Harlem. It's like block to block, right? So you go up three blocks, and now there's a project, and there's like people that have been there, like their families have been there for 40 years, like straight up real deal thugs. So it's very strange, like just white people be walking their doors and then walking their dogs and just not paying attention, maybe, and then all of a sudden you're in front of a project building, and there's a black person stomping your dog to death.
Again, we're lighting your possum on fire.
There were nice things about the neighborhood. It's got great restaurants up there. It's very convenient to getting around, at least like upper Manhattan.
It was my favorite place that I lived, like, honestly, like when I was in Harlem after James, you know, he was born in Gramercy. But we had that little tiny apartment over by the stand. That was a really small, nice apartment, nice enough, nice little backyard courtyard area. But it just wasn't big enough for, you know, a family. It was big enough for a broken family. I should have left them there. I don't know why. I was leaving, and a year later I'm gone. But we ended up moving to Harlem, and I liked living in Harlem a lot, but I'm also a big Puerto Rican guy. Nobody says shit to me. Like, it's not even a thought. Like, I was more afraid of the cops. I'd be smoking a blunt, like, outside of my apartment, and I'd be like, oh, shit, fucking, the cops are going to roll up. Like, I had much more of a brown person mentality.
But... Well, when you lived for a while up in Washington Heights, and you lived really in the hood. It wasn't on block. It wasn't on a nice block with nice doorman buildings with nice restaurants. It was just in the hood.
It was me and Haley Boyle in a one-bedroom apartment. And with sheets and multiple roommates. It was fucking psychotic.
I essentially lived there. I mean, like, I was over there all the time. And, like, we just thought it was awesome. We were like, oh, they sell weed right on the corner, and it's a pretty easy train ride from stand-up New York. Like, what more could you want? And, like, that calculation totally made sense to me as, like, single guys who didn't have kids. It's just once you have, like, when you have a wife and little kids, you're just like, oh, that's, you know, protecting them has got to be the biggest priority. I got in a thing with Lauren about this. This was last year, I guess, at some point. It was like about a year ago. But because she's just a little bit aloof, I think, to some of this stuff. But like, I was doing a thing in DC and she was coming down to meet me, and she wanted to come down at night. And because, like, she wanted to put the kids to bed and then come down and then stay for the next couple days.
She was going
to
drive down.
No, she didn't want to drive, which is like, I didn't care. So she was like, I think I'll just take the Amtrak down. And I was like, well, no, you can't take the Amtrak at night, because the stop that you'd have to go to is Newark, New Jersey. And it's not like, if you drive there, the garage is like three blocks from the fucking train station. And like, no, you're not allowed to walk around Newark at night. I'm sorry. Like, that's not.
I like conservative Dave.
Yes, I'm sorry. Listen, she wouldn't. There's lots of things she'd say. I'm not allowed to, like, fucking, I don't know, have eight glasses of whiskey and then get behind the wheel of a car, which isn't a problem in my case, but I couldn't think of a better example.
Nah, it's not a good. It's not a good point. Also, because
Dave would get behind the wheel and be like, pretend to drive.
Vroom, vroom.
I'm behind my kids. I'm in my kids' power wheel. I just crashed the power wheel into
Dave's out in Bigfoot again.
No, I don't know. Yes, when it comes to safety, I'm the boss. Yes, that's my department. But so I was like, listen, you could fly. I was like, I'll get you a flight. You could go to Newark Airport, because if you park the car there, you're in the airport, and then you could walk to your terminal from there.
What about her taking an Uber to the Amtrak?
I said she could do that, but I didn't really love it. But I was fine. But then ultimately,
I like Dave Brewmaker in his house.
Dude, yes. I love it, dude.
What is this? Is what a man
Dave's
is.
Like, don't get the switch off the tree. Bend over.
But like anyway. She ended up coming up the next morning. But I'm just saying, like, there's just, look, a little thing like that, it just, to me, is just such an obvious Jewish calculation. Where you're like, what is the benefit versus what are you risking? Like, I'm not even saying anything bad would happen if she parked and then walked into the train station.
But no, my wife is not. 99.9999% nothing's going to happen.
Sure. But I'm not. I'm just not.
She's more likely. And just if we're looking at the statistics and facts, from walking from the garage to the amount of women that are murdered and raped on that walk, I'm sure she's substantially more likely to get into a car accident, for the train to crash, for the plane to crash.
But the thing, well, I don't know about that.
You let her drive.
Car crash.
You allow her to drive.
Train, I do. Train crashing and plane crashing, I think, is far more like. And I'm not just saying raped or murdered, like anything happening. I'm just saying all those things are risks that I can't, you know, the answer to that is you can never get in a car. All right, that's not possible. I'm not going to say you're never getting on a train or a plane. But to just, by doing that, you're upping the risk of something happening probably by 1,000 times. So why the fuck do that? Like, what?
Can you look up the chances? You probably ask ChatGPT this, G Mike or Alex. What are the chances of being assaulted in Newark for a woman versus the chances of just getting into a car accident? I just want to know the answer.
Sure. But again, that's not my calculation, because it's not an option to just never get behind a car, but it is an option to not go to Newark at night. But sure, I'm curious.
There's an option to never get a car. You've done it your entire life.
Yes, and that's why there's no option for her, Lewis. Because I don't do it.
I need a driver.
Someone's driving us around.
Dude, oh my God. Yeah, I mean, I guess I understand. I'm fucking busting your balls. I completely understand where you're coming from. I've had girls that I don't care about where I'm like, well, you're not walking to the train home. I'm getting you an Uber home just because
I do that with like women in general. If somebody I'm not fucking, if I was like late with like a, we waited for the female host last weekend where I was in, wherever the fuck I was, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Like, waited every night to make sure like her Uber got there and walked her out to the Uber. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like basic, like, niceness.
Just even like just a girl that you're just fucking, where it's like, I've had this happen where like a girl will be like, you know, come over to my hotel or whatever. And then she's staying, you know, she lives in the town or whatever. She's like, I'm going to take a train or I'm going to fucking walk home or whatever. I was like, no, I'm just going to get you an Uber. Even if it's a 5-minute walk. Number one, my DNA is on you. I do not need your body turning up under a bridge somewhere and then fucking all of a sudden my jizz is in your mouth.
I figure if you're going to let me put my dingus inside of you, you deserve travel to and from it.
1 in 70 women are in a car accident. 1 in 200 women in Newark have been assaulted. But so that doesn't make sense for
the numbers, 8%. The other numbers you get.
It
does. I guess it does.
Yeah, 0.8% chance a woman is targeted in Newark, 1% chance of a car accident. So similar. But yeah, I mean, yeah,
they're not that far off. I did think the car accident one would have been a much more likely scenario. But that's
0.8 and 1% doesn't make sense for 1 in 70 and 1 in 200. That doesn't
Man.
I would go by this, the ChatGPT gave me, where it says being in a car accident is very common, 1 in 15 annually, and being part of a violent crime in Newark is 1 in 118 annually. So you're much
That's men as well, right?
I will say something though. That's actually not that low of a number.
1 in 118.
Also, I don't know what you know. It's all
black on black crime. That's like Chicago, where they start talking about mass shootings. You're like, well, no, dude, this is a fucking barbecue that was shot up by blacks. It's not a mass shooting. We're talking about white kids in schools.
Yes, we're talking about a problem in society, not what's to be expected.
Not the solution. Friday night hang, racist as fuck.
Shot up a church ceremony and then they call it a mass shooting?
Ooh, I like it, Jay.
Jay, write it down. Take it to stage immediately.
Mass.
Jay's new album, Mass.
Mass
suicide. Well, I'll say, I don't know if they're measuring, like, does that mean someone, if you live in Newark, those are your odds? Your odds are probably a lot smaller just going there one time walking three blocks,
the train.
Yes, but
while also, on the phone with your, while on FaceTime with your husband the whole time while he's crying because he's afraid that you're gonna die.
Well, like, also, that is, which I don't know if we could get stats to account for, but that's also like the safest part of Newark, I think, is like right downtown where the train station is. It's not like if you're just walking around random Newark, I think the odds are like 100%.
There's probably a decent amount of police presence there, right?
Yes.
And you, still, you know, you're just
you don't add, you just don't want to add unnecessary risk. And like, to me, again, like the thing with Beatrice and James in Harlem, that to me would just be like, why are we, if we have the option of just not having to deal with that issue, why would we deal with that issue?
If well, she I had was the just option, stubborn as fuck.
Yeah, if I had the option to make it 100% that our car could never crash, I would definitely do that. If they were like, hey, it's an extra $100 a month, and then there's a 0% chance you'll ever be in a car crash, none of us wouldn't pay that. So like, why not do it here?
Eventually, it's going to be all self-driving cars, right? You got the writing's on the wall, right? Well, I took a Waymo in Austin. Have you taken one? Mm-mm. A driverless Uber?
That freaks me out.
It's fucking wild.
I'm not ready for it.
App? It's a whole different thing.
No, Uber goes, we're sending you a Waymo, and then they give you an option to decline it. You don't have to take the Waymo.
I don't think I've ever gotten the option. That freaks me out.
We took it. I got it in Austin because it's big in Austin twice. I declined it once because it was going to be like 18 minutes away. And I was like, why would I wait 18 minutes for a driverless car?
Robot.
But it's like, dude, it's literally like if you watch, I just watched Total Recall recently. And there's so many things from that movie. That
Johnny Cab?
Yeah, the Johnny Cab, dude. That's what it was. It was no dude, but it did talk to you. And it was like, it's just weird watching the steering wheel move by itself. And it's fucking, but it drives. I mean, it just, if you just, you know, watch it, there's no difference. You know, you got to like, you have to unlock it with your phone. Like when you get there, you press the button twice to unlock it and then fuck it. It's just, it's a little bit bizarre, but we are, I mean, so close. If I had a guess, within 10 years, maybe 20 years, there won't be cars that are driven by people anymore. I don't think there'll be an option. There's going to be like safety issues. They're going to go, yeah, well, there's you are. It's not one out of 70 Waymos are crashing or one out of 70 robotic cars are crashing. It'll be one out of like 5,000 like malfunctions. You know,
the thing that I always thought years ago, which hasn't really panned out at all, but and maybe it won't, but I always thought like about as soon as they kind of the cars had like, you know, whatever, like the interfacing screens and GPS and all that shit in your car. I was always like, and then like as the technology grew, you know, like they'd have like the cameras, like then they have the, you know, the speeding tickets that you just get in the mail. It's not even like a physical thing anymore. And I was just like, but how long before they can just like the smart car knows what the speed limit is on the road that you're on? And it's just automatically going to give you a ticket. You know what I'm saying? Like it can just measure. It's like, oh, you're going above the speed limit here or whatever. And like that just, and like that hasn't happened yet.
I think we'll sooner have driverless cars before that. And the reality is I'm assuming speed limits will be risen. They'll raise them. You know what I'm saying? Like, because if you're having a system in place where it's all sort of a grid, why wouldn't the cars just be faster, more efficient, get you there quickly? Like you're.
How about, here's what I think with those. I kind of, you have to wait so many years for it to really be done because there's probably a great list even, G-Mike, if you look it up, like failed technology, not that the technology failed, but like it was a technology that came and people were just like, eh. Do you remember for a minute and they were charging a ton for them, fucking 3D TVs? Remember the TVs that were going to be 3D? And then no one gave a fuck. Just nobody cared. The movies,
right.
For a while, there was always like at least one 3D movie in the theater again, like the Clash of the Titans time, and they would, everything's going to be in 3D now in real 3D, and everyone just stopped giving a shit.
But for entertainment,
technology,
I think that technology for entertainment is not sort of where we're putting our
convenience
chips on the table. It's about efficiency. It's about making work, like AI makes work easier and faster, automated cars. And people are like, dude, they're going to get, dude, all the Uber drivers are going to lose their jobs. It's like, okay, I'm not trying to be an asshole here, but it's like, I feel like technology is going to create a lot more jobs for people that are skilled and fucking deserve to make a lot of money. I'm not as concerned with Uber drivers not being able to drive their Ubers anymore.
Yeah, but I'll tell you
creative
this.
Creative destruction is the term you're looking for.
But again, needing the human element into something. I will say yesterday, I needed an Uber driver to get me somewhere pretty quick. And like, you know, you can tell when you have a good versus bad versus a who gives a shit Uber driver. This guy, like, he was like bobbing and weaving. He was like getting us where we had to go. You know what I mean? Like that's a human element that like you can't tell a robot like, dude, $10 extra in it for you if you fucking get us there quick, you know?
I'll give you an extra can of oil if you get to get there quick. Okay. Stepping on it.
Oh, shit. I think all robots are gonna be like the Tin Man.
Where they used to give Rosie on the Jetsons like boxes of bolts and screws to eat.
And she just eats fucking metal parts.
It's like the candy. shit. Yeah, fucking. But I'm assuming that they'll be like really efficient. Like, so what'll happen is traffic, there won't be traffic because like everything will be on a grid and everyone will be like interconnected. All the robots will fucking just kind of get you there. Yeah, Google Glass is like that. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants Google Glass.
The Apple Visions. No one.
That's discontinued, I believe.
Is it really already done?
I believe so. Look that up. I believe that they said nobody's buying it. We're not spending any more time creating Apple Vision.
Wow.
None of the technology is going toward weird futuristic technology.
Even virtual reality video games just didn't catch the way they thought, I think.
I think they're going to, though. I think it's a really cool submersive experience. Like James loves it.
Does he do it often?
I would say he plays his virtual reality video games more often than he plays PS5.
Really? Oh, okay.
Because apparently the Batman game is the coolest thing in the fucking world. I've never played it. I've never even put it on for a second, but you're Batman and you're just like in Arkham Asylum and you fucking have a batarang and you just fucking people up. Apparently it's really cool.
Really?
Yeah. Apple has not officially announced the discontinuation. However, multiple reports indicate that Apple has significantly reduced production of the device due to weaker than expected demand. Okay. I thought it was discontinued.
Seems I mean, pretty it's close. Production. I mean, it's getting pretty close. I don't even know anybody who has it or who has it. And Bobby's probably the most like techie person I know as far as like wants to have it. Like those glasses, I don't quite get the Meta glasses. I don't think they're going to be like really popular either. I think that's going to come and go.
I mean, like, I think there's certain things that are cool. Like, I think the glasses that you could record.
Video. Of course. Yeah, that's what Bobby has. Listen, not only can you record video, you can look at things and be like, what kind of tree is that? And then it'll tell you what. I get it, but it's also just like, you're just going to stop doing. Again, maybe it's like, it's up
look
to like James's
Jay,
age.
Jay out in the suburbs thinking about trees.
Yeah.
What kind of tree is that? You could get one, Jay. You could put it in front of your house. You own it.
It's a good like Isabella is my gauge for a lot of things. Being 22, like James is kind of like our gauge for that, I guess. You know, that Layla, that'll be like the gauge to see if they come up giving a shit about it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, James is. I'm lucky that he's not like a weird technology kid. He's not on his phone all the time. Like he's.
Oh yeah, I don't. My kids don't have tablets. I don't have phone. Like
that's great though.
I'm not doing it, dude.
As long as possible.
Growing up on that. Yeah.
As long as possible. Not doing it. It'll teach them fucking just number one, like to have conversations, to be present. Like you watch it at a restaurant. So it'd be like, last time we went to a fucking Cuban restaurant and Cubans love to give their kids tablets and tell the kids like, guys, turn this as the volume as high as possible. Like it's just all these Cubans with fucking kids just blaring like crazy videos on YouTube and everyone's having a loud conversation. And I'm like next to this kid getting fucking furious. And it's like, you know, I just feel like as long as possible, you want to avoid giving your kid a tablet to distract them. It's just lazy parenting.
If you remember, I got Isabella one of those like four phone number phones for school when school shootings started becoming a thing.
Yeah. She was also younger as well. It was a little different. So her friend, like if she was now, you know, 6-year-olds get iPhones.
Oh, no. Listen, her sister has had all that kind of stuff in forever. Isabel, I think 14 when I got her a phone, like an iPhone where she can go on the internet and do it.
I got James an iPhone at 8, which was young, but we were going to Italy, and
circumstantial.
I was like, if God forbid he gets lost, like he needs to have a phone.
Of course,
and dude. I wanted him to take pictures. Like he was really into taking pictures of my phone, and you can't look through the pictures of my phone, dude. James. It's fucking crazy.
Dude, the cutest thing when you got him that phone and went to Italy where he was like 8 or whatever is that James just called me like 26 times He doesn't know that many people. He doesn't know that many people.
He had like four numbers in his phone.
So he's like, Uncle Dave was one of the numbers. So he just called me all the time. And then you just get that 8-year-old phone call. You know, like they've never quite figured out the phone call timing, like, like when to say hi, when to, like, you know, you're always like, hello, hello, hello. He's like, it's Uncle Dave. I'm like, what?
Hi.
Who's this?
Oh, Alex, Alex put in the chat, we usually let Aura watch YouTube toward the end of a meal when dessert is coming out. Yes, Alex, we would all judge you for being a shitty parent and having your kid on an iPad in a restaurant.
I don't judge you My ex-wife had to do something for Isabella's sister. I mean, she was like a restaurant problem.
She was. I had personally been to a restaurant with them.
Problem,
and I was like, yeah, I'd rather her not scream.
Well, then they both become problems because then my ex starts screaming too.
Well, my point is she does like an hour and a half of the meal with nothing and interacts with us. And then toward the end, when everybody's chilling, we say, okay, you can watch Elmo a little bit. You're starting to get a little antsy and you want to get out of here.
It's not terrible for a 2-year-old.
She is very defensive. Thank you, G-Mike. I appreciate that. Alex is trying.
I saw that bitch watching fucking tablet the whole time. From appetite, soup to nuts.
Look, playing devil's advocate, Alex. Now she's used to that, and now she wants that. You've trained her to scream and get what she wants for it.
We offer it to her before she has even thought of it as a thing.
Alex, don't let Lewis bully you here. You're fine.
You've been a good girl. Why don't you watch some Elmo? We need a break.
Alex, you do not have to defend yourself against Lewis. Lewis is
you do. You do. Anytime I see a parent with an iPad with their kid at the fucking table, I judge the fuck out of them.
Alex, listen, it's a tough topic to be defensive about, but Lewis walks the walk. James was always, because he didn't have the tablets, he was super aware of every black thug that was coming at him to attack his mother. That was the environment that Lewis put his son in.
By the way, it is funny though, because it could also be a test of the fact that you're poor. It's like, I didn't get my kid a laptop when they were six. I didn't get him fucking. You know what? I want Isabel to learn a lesson. I'm not buying her fucking name brand sneakers because you're going to learn. You're going to learn a lesson.
I just think it's, you know, you want the kids to be present. You want them to have a conversation. You want them to be, not you, Alex, everyone else.
That said, I mean, you're hard pressed to find adults who don't all. I mean, like, if you look around at a restaurant, I mean, like, I pull my phone out at a restaurant for engagement purposes because my thing is when we're waiting for the food, play Family Feud with everybody at the table. But like, I don't. That's the weirdest when you just see two people, three people at a table, and everyone is just texting different people.
You gotta try. It's a really easy thing to fall into. You got to try to not be for. That's a big challenge now for parents. You got to not be on your phone like while you're playing with your kids all the time. You have to because otherwise you're just. It doesn't matter. You could tell them all day long stay off the technology, but if you're modeling that you're on it, then you have to you can't do that.
Parenting with Legion of Skanks. And another thing too, make sure your kid gets a lot of exercise. And you know the food pyramid that we grew up with is actually wrong.
Yeah, I literally got into a thing last night because I went into the racist live chat during dinner. And I was just, because every time there's a stream that, like a Legion of Skank stream or Star Wars, I try to go in for a few minutes and just be like, hey guys, you enjoying the show? Just to engage. So it is legitimately work, but you're not going to convince my ex-girlfriend that. I'll tell you that much.
But I get where she's coming from on that too. It's like, if you're going to have, I also don't I like having conversations. Like I feel like if you go out to dinner, you should all be like talking. You should be, that's like,
well, there's some people like Ralph. Well, if we're in a business meeting, Ralph will take his phone. He'll put it face up on the table. Right. Like we'll be in an important meeting. And then if somebody texts him, he'll just pick up the phone while everyone's talking and start texting them back. And I'm like, Ralph, I've had conversations with him. I'm like, Ralph, you can't fucking do that. I was like, it's just, it comes off like, some people don't notice. Some people are just that way. But the people that do notice are very offended by it. Like if I'm talking to somebody and then they start texting, and we actually have had this conversation specifically on this show, right? Where like, we'll, you know, look down at our phone for a second. Now, 99% of the time that I do that, I'm looking something up for the show. We're talking about something and I'm looking up a fact and I want to like bring it up or whatever.
99%, huh?
99%.
100% of the time I do it, it's something more important than the show.
No, it's very rare that I'm texting somebody or looking up something different, nothing to do with the show. If I go into my phone, I'm usually looking up something on ChatGPT. And now, by the way, you guys don't notice it because what I do is I keep my phone up here usually. So when I do it, I just have it here and you don't even see it.
I'm looking at my phone right now.
Jay, you brought it up. I rigged
this system.
And you weren't wrong about it.
I'm not even here. I'm in the bathroom taking a shit.
I have that 3D technology.
Of me saying these things.
But Jay, you brought up. You're like, oh, it's distracting when I'm in the middle of a story and you guys keep on looking down at your phone. And I understand that. It genuinely is. It feels borderline disrespectful. You're like, dude.
Where
is everybody looking at everyone? Like in your room. Where are we to you, Dave? Like, look at us. Right. Like, this is you looking at us.
I have my computer here that you can see. So you're on the screen here, but then I also have a big TV.
And where right are we on you, Lewis?
You guys are on my computer screen right in front of me. I could put you guys up on my monitor.
Yeah, we got to get you up on it. We got to get, that's what I'm just, cause I'm getting ready to set up my stuff as soon as possible. But like, it's a big thing about that. Is like,
could I suggest a light?
Oh yeah, Jay,
instead of having three fireflies roaming around your face,
I mean, it is the light in the room.
No, I know, but it's back. Yeah, that's Jay. Terrible. You're
well. I'm not staying here. This is Christine's office. I'm gonna go down this.
Yeah, you need a light source that's in your face. So what we're seeing is the only reason your face is lit is because you're in a dark room with a screen on in front of you.
Yeah,
yeah. So no, you need like a ring light. I have a ring light. The reason I'm so well lit is there's a ring light right here. So what I could do if I was looking at my TV screen, this is what it would look like. It looks like I'm looking directly in the camera. So I could put you guys up my screen, but like if I'm looking at you guys, I'm looking at you right here, and I look at you guys the whole time for the most part.
No, I got you. I'm just saying, but it's funny if I'm looking at you and Dave right now, you're both looking at the screen. But if I'm looking at you guys telling a story and you start noticing that, it looks like you guys just are not giving a shit.
It looks like I'm sleeping. My eyes.
You're looking down and Dave's looking off to the side. But the, yeah, exactly. Like, and so you go, and then the guy came up to me and he said, guys,
please wrap it up.
Bibbidi bobbidi bobbidi pip.
I've had meetings before where people were like in, you know, I'm trying, it was like a fucking, like a manager who wanted to rep me, they're trying to woo me into signing with them or whatever.
Woo,
and just
woo.
And literally no pitch, just Ric Flair wooed at me the entire time.
We're gonna get you on the road. Woo! Woo. You're gonna get development deal after woo. Development deal. Woo!
Anyway,
you're gonna be styling and profiling.
I signed with them and I'm styling and profiling now.
Yeah, so
it worked out well. But like, who just were on their phone way too much in the meeting, and that definitely was like, I was like, I don't have any interest in working with this person. Like, you should, especially if you're in a business meeting where you're like trying to land a deal or get someone or something, you should be treating them like they're your like entire priority or focus, at least for that meeting.
Oh yeah,
like, Jesus.
Yeah, not Alex though. Alex would have a fucking iPad out watching Elmo in the middle of a business meeting.
Congratulations, you made it through appetizers. Here's your
here's your Apple Vision glasses. Everything you look at is telling you what it is. Waiter, face identification.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know that we'll ever go down that path in technology. I think everything is about efficiency. And I feel like, how much bigger and flatter can the TV screens get? Like, what else are they going to do? Like, we like watching a big TV in our living room on the wall. Like, that's kind of like, that's not really broken.
Now they have like ones where it's like, it's going to be like a poster you can almost roll out. And it'll be as screen as possible. Yeah.
Well, it's flattest amazing. Screen possible.
Yeah. Basically.
I got my TV in my living room is a big Samsung, and It's crazy, Jay. I don't know. Do you have Samsungs, Jay, or do you have Sony's? So the Samsungs, you know, like the new ones, they're so like, dude, when I was like hanging it, they're so thin, dude.
Yeah.
Like they almost like the struggle in like lifting it is that the middle can kind of go like, you got to like kind of hold the middle. And it's crazy. I remember what I'll never forget is that we had it, me and Wes had the TV that I think we sold it to you at one point.
I bought it for $500 from Wes. Yes,
we had one of the, and we helped
you. Do you remember? I used to hang my socks on that TV. My wet socks.
Dude, it was how gigantic the ass on that big screen TV was and how heavy it was. And to watch the TV in my living room now that like literally you could get like a wave going through it if you like start at one end. It's
we're not my parents, I hit it to make a sound like thunder.
Mike Vecchione almost got killed helping me get my parents when they got a new TV, gave me their whatever, you know, 50-inch big screen TV where the bottom of it was heavy speaker.
Oh, yeah.
It was just that big, big, thick back. I mean, it was so crazy heavy. If it wasn't for the size, if it wasn't for the size of it that you couldn't get onto, you could walk comfortably two city blocks, no problem, holding a 75-inch TV right now. Yeah. Yourself.
I mean, even my TV is a few years old at this point, and it's not thin like that. It's thin, you know what I'm saying? But like, but I don't see any need to like.
I'm looking at my oldest TV in here, and it's about an inch and a half thick.
Do you remember the first time you saw like TV?
Say when they saw what?
There was a moment where TV, like you went from having like a shitty TV like that to like you got your new TV, and it looked like the people were like in the room. It was weird. It was like a strange, like you're like, what is
going on? Oh, you're talking about when HD, like the real HD, became like the norm on screens.
Yeah, and yeah.
Every sitcom. It's so funny, dude. As you say this, I look for it now and can't see it.
Yeah.
But I remember when it first came out, it was almost like you. It would take you out of it. Like yeah, you'd be like,
no. It's can I tell you something? It's still an option on every single one of them. It's an option. It's a frame rate thing. You could probably look that up, Mike or Alex, but it's close. It's like a frame. But now I think they don't default to that setting anymore. It used to always default. I hated it. It made a movie look like it was the Cosby Show. You know what I mean?
It almost felt like you were in the room when it was being filmed.
Yeah. Law and Order seemed like, yeah, exactly. Like you were right there. It was too HD.
Too much. Yeah. Too HD.
But that's a frame rate thing. So they put it down. The idea is you want a movie to look like a movie. You want a TV show to look like a TV show. Yeah. It's something about like it's the frame rate.
Yeah, I agree. Let's do plugs. It's fucking tech talk on Legion of Skanks today.
So I like that, in tech talk. That's what we do on the Friday night hang.
And racism.
Oh, that. Like don't live around. Don't give your kids iPads. Don't live around blacks.
Get a TV. Enjoy it.
Get yourself a big ass TV. It's very light.
Tickets today on sale for Skankfest May 2nd. When this comes out, more than likely, if I had to guess, our VIPs or our all access passes are probably sold out. Maybe not though. We are doing more tickets than we've ever done. So get those tickets if you haven't. Grab a single day pass if the all access passes are sold out. But we're taking over New Orleans November 14th through 16th. And we have the biggest, best lineup that we've ever had. It's always a goddamn blast. The number one comedy party in the entire world. Lots of new people there that have never been there before. A lot of the old fucking greats, the original Skanks, guys like Shane Gillis, Tim Dillon, Nick Mullen, Mark Norman, Joe List. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You can get the entire lineup at skankfest.com. It's going to be wild. It's going to be a wild time. So
entire lineup so far.
Yeah, so far. I mean, there's people we can't announce. There's people that still haven't been booked yet. Mike Figgs might come.
There's people that are never going to say yes.
There's people that keep on giving us the runaround year after year after year after year.
There's people that are flat out just saying a hard no right now.
But yeah, skankfest.com. Shout out to Yo Kratom for making it all possible. I didn't mean to commandeer the plugs up top. You guys can go. I just wanted to get that out right up top because they're on sale today.
You're a commandeer. Go ahead, Davey.
Tomorrow, or I mean yesterday, sorry guys, forget how this works. Tonight and tomorrow night, I'm out at the American Comedy Company in San Diego, California. Looking forward to that. And then my next stop is the Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin. Then I'll be back in Salt Lake City at Wise Guys. Is it? That's my first time there, so I'm glad to hear that. And then I'm very excited to do...
Parker Entertainment. They're all good clubs.
Hell yeah. Then I will be out for the first time at Denver Comedy Works, Hilarities in Cleveland, Comedy Connection out in Rhode Island. Comedy Connection out in Providence, Rhode Island, Tacoma Comedy Club, Spokane Comedy Club, Detroit House of Comedy, Tampa Side Splitters, all up on the website, comicdavesmith.com. Go grab tickets. Come on out. And partoftheproblem.com, of course. That's all.
BigJComedy.com for all my dates. Second half of the Crowdwork album, going strong. We're about 500,000 views in a week or so. So please, let's keep it going. Let's just get it over 1 million, and I'll never mention it again. Get it over 1 million, and I'll never make both of them get over 1 million, and I never bring it up again. I promise. But until then, I'm going to keep telling you, watch and watch it again. The second half of my double Crowdwork special, them they. Dates all over the motherfucking road. I'm in Denver, Colorado this weekend. Those shows might be getting sold out. No, looks like you buy tickets for all of them. All right. Governor's Levittown, I'm assuming that's probably sold out. But nope, looks like every one of them still up on the thing there. San Diego, though, you're probably not going to be. Oh, nope, hang on. All those shows still up and available. Good, good, good. Look for me in Charlotte, North Carolina, but I think you can only get to. No, it looks like all shows still on sale. And then Liberty Township, Ohio. Also buy tickets for that. I'm all over the place. Big J Okerson's Peter North American tour coming on a city near you. If you get it, you get it. Of course, listen to The Bonfire 5 days a week. Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103 with me and the great Robert Kelly. And, of course, America's favorite new comedy game show obsession, Story Wars.
Hell yeah. Come see me live on the road, guys. LewisofSkanks.com is the website. This week, I'm going to be in Houston. Punchline, if you guys are listening to this live, come tomorrow night, Saturday night. Plenty of tickets. Huge venue. Next week, I'm in Fort Collins, Colorado at the Comedy Fort. Very excited about that. Fort Myers, Florida the week after that. Very excited about that. Snappers Comedy Club. Sounds like it's going to be a great club, I'm sure. Then May 22nd, I'm in San Antonio, Texas at Stable Hall. Massive venue, guys. Bring a bunch of friends to this one. I've never been to San Antonio before. And that weekend, I'm in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be a goddamn blast at Hyenas. And at the end of the month, I'm going to Europe. I'm in Amsterdam, Glasgow, Dublin, Manchester, and London. And then June, I got Boston, Levittown, New York.
They have better names over in Europe for comedy clubs.
Yeah, they do.
Creatures, that's a cool fucking name. And what's the other one I just saw there? There's another good like name one. In Stitches.
Sure, it's great. Then that's all leading up to my special taping. July 12th in Tampa at Sidesplitters Comedy Club. Very excited. Bobby Kelly is going to be directing the special. I have shows that entire weekend with Zach Amico, so it's going to be a goddamn blast. Get all of those tickets at lewisofskanks.com. Sign up for my mailing list on the same exact website. Get all of the inside information about all things Gas Digital, Skankfest, and things that are going on in my life. Then you get a bonus podcast, my solo Lewis Journal podcast, just for subscribers. And make sure, obviously, check out Story Wars and The Regs. You know, everyone's favorite podcasts that I do.
More like Boner.
Boner podcast.
More like a Boner podcast.
Jason Ellis posted that he's looking for a fight, and I'm considering fighting him again. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm.
No, you won't do it.
Well, it's not that I won't do it. I won't do it for no money. So last time we did Carnival Combat, we lost money on it, and he was a terrible partner in promoting it and fucking... Sure. So I literally fought for free. It was fucking insane. But if... they could find a promoter, like one of these like influencer cards that actually get paid to do it. Cause I wouldn't do it unless I could literally take 3 months off and train and not tour and like, but I have to get paid to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you're not going to do it. Seems like it uses a long way to prove me right.
$1 million.
No, you're scared.
No, I'm not scared. He's older than ever. He's older than ever.
He's only getting older.
He's only getting older, dude. He's not fucking dudes anymore. So
yeah, I was going to say, but now he's not gee.
That extra pep in his butt.
That's right. He's got a fire, and it's not in his asshole anymore.
Hey, bro, put some pep in your butt.
Oh, I thought you said pipe in me butt.
Oh, oh, no, no, no,
ew. Ew.
No, but I would do it.
Yeah,
yeah. If we found, if we found a promoter to do it,
I'll still bet $1,000 on you.
You should. I'm better at boxing than I ever was.
I bet money on you.
I just said. I could destroy the Luis J. Gomez that fought Tim Butterly at this point. Like, I'm such a better boxer now than I was then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at that time,
I could destroy that guy too. He's going bankrupt. He fought for free.
Yeah. That guy's a fool who will just fight anybody for absolutely free.
Well, that guy was fighting with his hands in his pockets to pull them out to turn him inside out. It's a terrible strategy. Reaching deep into your pockets during a fight to feel nothing.
Oh, shit. No, like, I don't really know. It's a very hard thing to kind of gauge. But, like, I 100% think there, if you really took it seriously and trained for 3 months, I think there's a path to you beating Jason Ellis in a boxing match. Like, I don't, or an MMA fight, whatever. It's possible you could
not
do
MMA
it.
Or a kiss-off.
I can't do jiu-jitsu. I destroy him in a kiss-off.
I don't know about that, dude.
The older a man gets, the grosser he is at kissing.
Okay, sure, maybe.
These are facts.
Maybe.
Yeah, but he's got a lot more experience than you.
It's you versus him kiss off. Whoever breaks the kiss first loses.
Fucking his tongue has varicose veins in it. Ew. Ew. Old man tongue. Yuck. I'm an old man too. I feel bad kissing women. I feel bad if I kiss a chick. I'm like, oh, I feel so bad you have to do this.
Ew. Is it? I smell the hard candies on my breath.
There must be.
Well, I was just.
Is that Brother's original?
I was thinking about this. I saw Ryan O'Neal the other night. So it's I remember like, oh yeah, remember when you guys fought? But so you're getting toward the end here, Lewis, right? Like, how many more of these could you have in you?
I've just gotten better at boxing. I'm just better at than I ever was at so at one point, I guess I'm going to taper off and, you know, I'm going to be too old to do it.
Obviously. I think I still have got something in the basement. What basement?
Yeah. You're going to tell me that I can't fight? You're going to sit there and tell me?
You know, older I get, the more things I got to give up. All I'm asking you to leave on the table is what's right.
Well, we're boxing at Skankfest this year. I'm not going to box him at Skankfest. People are like, oh, you should box because it's not
who's popular. Are people boxing? Is Harrington boxing?
Harrington wants to box. I got mad at Harrington. Harrington, come on and defend yourself. Alex, is he around?
Oh my god. Okay. So he's in the room but fully asleep.
That's hilarious.
He was boxing his daughter.
It's 10 a.m.
But he has been to like 5 boxing classes since he missed that date with you.
And he also met me yesterday and we sparred. Harrington.
Yeah, who does he want to fight?
Yeah, he puked. He wants to fight. He's trying to fight the dude that argues with you on Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
That you got to be more specific than that.
Yeah. What?
Misfit Patriot.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. All right.
But I'm like, Harrington, you're.
Does that guy actually want to fight?
No. Harrington's just trolling
him.
That's
not a thing then. Yeah.
Not even close. Harrington has I mean, I love him, but it wasn't good yesterday. It wasn't good.
What are you mad at him for? I don't understand.
Come on, Lewis. You could get him.
I'm trying to get him in shape. He's lazy. I got mad at him because twice now he's done this. We've set up training and he's gone to the gym that we had Dylan and Cracky Miko fight at instead of the place that I actually train at.
Okay, he just went
two there. Separate times he just went there and he showed up with a bag in hand, and this last time he showed up nearly an hour after we were supposed to meet up, and by the time he got in, two black guys had taken over the ring to spar. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to argue with black guys, so
yeah, that's crazy.
You woke him up. Alex woke him up. Good, thanks Alex. Yeah, Harrington, you can come on and defend yourself here. What's happening? What?
This is crazy.
Wow. What's going on, Mom? Huh? Like the baby hates you, Harrison. Give her an iPad. Put on Elmo. She can't look at her father like this.
Hello, my guy.
What does Harrington have to defend?
Is Harrington looking to fight at Skankfest?
Harrington is looking to fight at Skankfest, but he goes online, he talks all this shit. Somebody was like, dude, I'm going to be in fight shape by June. And Harrington chimed in. He was like, yeah, me too, dude. It was great. I mean, Harrington.
Naeem said he wants to be in fight shape by June. I'd love to be in fight shape by June.
Wouldn't you said you're going to be.
Everybody would love to be in fight shape by June.
Yeah.
I'd love to be.
Yeah. Harrington, who are you most likely going to fight here? Because this is going to be. We're doing fights at Skankfest for sure. We have the boxing ring. We could bring boxing is back. But I'm not going to fight Ellis at Skankfest because I'm not fighting Ellis for free. He's actually a dangerous human being.
I mean, I don't know. It's thankfully it's May isn't until tomorrow, and the festival's in November. If I'm just training to get into fight shape, you know.
Like, just went,
why do you sound
open my eyes?
You sound like Rocky.
Well, again, Harrington, I think
I box you, Harrington, missing... but I have no time to train for it.
Yeah, I think you're missing the point. I don't think Lewis was arguing that you can't get in shape between now and November, like that it can't be done. He's saying that you're saying you're going to be in shape, and he doesn't buy it.
Harrington, to this day, will walk around with like a gallon of water, and I'm like, Harrington, what are you doing? You're not fucking. It's crazy. Oh. You know, athletes will walk around with a big gallon of water. Like, what are you doing, Harrington?
Harrington's just got a big gallon of like Lipton iced tea, though. It's just
like a big milkshake.
Fuck, that's funny as hell, dude.
Well, the thing is,
you can't do that until you're showing results.
Harrington did get into like Harrington dropped a lot of weight and got into like very good shape, I think, for a while there. He's done it before. It's possible to do it again.
We got
Harrington might be as heaviest he's ever been now.
Harrington, are you possible? Heavy? Your heaviest you've ever been?
No, no way.
No.
How much do you weigh right now?
We're just gonna do this every 6 months.
Yeah.
Go jump on the scale. 315.
At Keist.
Who said 315? Oh,
Mike.
I would say, Harrington, you're probably 275 pounds.
I'm not 275.
When's the last time you weighed yourself?
I'm gonna walk over there with him and look.
Don't let him lie, Alex. Hold him accountable. Because he told a guy in the gym yesterday, asked him how much he weighs, and he said 250, and I just let him get away with it.
Why? Is he 5'1"?
I weigh like 230 right now.
And I'm 250.
Yeah, you think you're as skinny as Big Jim?
Maybe. I still see myself as bigger than Harrington.
No, that's insane. You're just a lot.
You're much taller than Harrington. You're a bigger guy than Harrington.
6'3", Jay.
Do you guys want to take any final guesses? We have the final weigh in.
274.
God damn it, G Mike.
G Mike says 305. He also said, quote unquote, scale says exactly 230, unquote. Alex lying to you in 30 seconds.
G-Mike's killing it.
G-Mike's a savage.
G-Mike thinks I'm a liar.
258.4.
Okay. Yeah,
is it crazy the way muscle and fat works? Harrington is heavier than Francis Ngannou.
That's what I call Alex and Harrington as a couple, muscle and fat.
I thought you meant you call him Francis Ngannou.
Didn't Francis Ngannou get into a car accident or something and kill somebody?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I think that was John Jones.
No. This happened like a couple days ago.
There's
I do not know.
there's unconfirmed reports out of the Cameroon that he was involved in a motorcycle accident. The girl was in the hospital for a while. He was paying the medical bills, and she died before they could give her life.
17-year-old.
Nice. Now he doesn't have to pay those medical bills. Dude, you got to kill her and not pay those bills.
Well, there you
Everything's
go.
Everything's coming up in
Ghana. Cameroon.
Looks like everything comes
up. Is that a black person who's on camera a lot? A Cameroon?
Cameroonian.
Oh, shit. 258.4, Harrington. And you were at 170 when you fought in Ellis Mania, right?
No, I didn't get down that low.
I was going to say 170.
I got into the 170. I think I hit 179 at one point.
Really?
Yeah, you're 80 pounds heavier.
Whoa, right now, dude. Come on, Mikey. That's a crazy fluctuation.
Yeah, that's the dangerous part. Yeah. Get in shape and stay there.
Or get somewhere average and stay there.
Harrington, what is your G-Mike said, but you look healthy.
Jesus, G-Mike. A damn savage today.
G-Mike's on an edible.
Shit. Harrington, what is your diet like? Jesus Christ. It's just awful, right? You just eat terrible.
G-Mike, if my opponent is up at noon, I'm up at 10:15.
This is how you know Harrington's about to tell a lie, when his voice, it starts off on a high pitch. But I'm going to do pretty good.
If my opponent's up at noon, I'm up at 10:15 is the funniest thing I've ever read.
My opponent wants to get up at noon, I'll get up at 10:15.
Oh, shit.
I put 1.5 the time to work in.
Harrington, what is your diet like?
It's been, I mean, you know, for the last...
It's been?
Yeah, it's been. Last 2 weeks been pretty good. You know, just very something light, oatmeal in the morning, no lunch, dinner, no snacks in between.
Yeah, but what's dinner?
All right, so Fagan...
Milkshake lasagna?
The other day...
Words don't go together.
The other day, he called General Chow's chicken over rice. He said, I had chicken over rice tonight.
With a little bit of broccoli.
Oh, yeah. He said, I had chicken over rice with a little bit of broccoli. And then Fagus said, you had Chinese food, dude.
That's awesome. Oh, hilarious. Dude,
that's crazy. That is so funny to call General Chow's chicken a little chicken over rice.
And even broccoli. Like chicken and rice is no longer like this is an old bodybuilding thing where like, yeah, chicken and rice is good. It's like we've all figured out that you're really not even supposed to have that if you're trying to cut weight.
What, the rice you're not supposed to have, right?
Not the rice. Yeah, just straight up some chicken and vegetables. Harrington, you need to fucking... I almost kicked Harrington out of fighting at Skankfest because he didn't show up. And now I'm considering... I beat the piss out of him. I mean, and I'm talking about I'm going 20% of my strength. I beat the ever-loving piss out of him yesterday. The only round I even tried was the last round, Harrington.
Yeah, you've been training boxing steadily for 2 years. I have been getting fat.
I know.
Those were two different paths, I guess. When they meet back in the ring, I guess the guy who's been training for 2 years will do better. All right, you know what? Sound logic, Mikey. My apologies.
Well, who's... Lewis, who's a good opponent for Harrington to get? Don't get me wrong. I like the idea of Harrington beating up my trolls on Twitter, but I don't think any of them are going to fight him.
I think Dave Smith. Dave Smith gets out of retirement. He brings back hand. We'll get him in the ring.
Listen, Harrington actually did a pretty good job in his fights, but he's not fucking with hand.
Harrington, what about Figgs? I think Figgs might be a good fight for you. Figgs would fight just to get invited to Skankfest.
Oh my god! You guys burping spaghetti the whole time.
I mean, if it means Figgs gets to Skankfest, then yeah, sure, of course, I would do anything.
Don't tell him. But I already told Rebecca to invite Figgs to Skankfest.
All right, he's not gonna watch this.
Dad, you're a pussy.
I don't know that
I can beat Figgs.
I can beat Figgs. I just don't know that fighting Figgs helps me. Like, is Figgs
fighting Figgs is a great name.
is Figgs is heavier than me. Is he gonna have to lose a tremendous amount of weight to get to
you guys? Both should lose weight and fight each other.
When you say Harrington, when you say it doesn't help you, what do you mean by that?
No, it doesn't help
me. He's a fighter. He thinks he's a fighter.
Okay, all right. It meant
help. You think it doesn't move you up the rankings?
He's like, I would like a helping. Another helping, please.
No, I meant just weight-wise. Like, you know, if I'm trying to fight this, you know, 5'6" guy, I'm going to need to get in down to like 180 pounds. If for Figs, I could gain 30 pounds by Stankfest and make weight.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Is that what you think?
I know that I'm 30 pounds lighter than Figs.
No, if you guys both really? Think you're gonna get yeah, Figs is heavy. Figs is a big boy.
Huh. I didn't think he was.
If you guys
find 290, 300 pounds,
225 would be a nice healthy weight for you right now, Harrington.
Yeah, I mean that's where I'm trying to get to by June.
Not by eating fucking Chinese food every night. It's not going to happen.
Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken.
He's like, drumstick. I'll take three. Well, we'll see what happens, Harrington. I hope you get into shape. He challenged Ryan Foster.
I did who not.
You said I would fight Ryan Foster.
I don't know who that is.
Is it Ryan Foster, a Philly comic? Pull up a picture of Ryan Foster, who has been training Muay Thai his entire life.
Okay.
He's 6'5", I believe. He's built like a brick shithouse. He's fucking jacked. See if you can get a picture of his like body. He's a manly dude. He's handsome. Look at him with the baby on his chest. Harrington, he can fight you with the baby on his chest and beat you. Right there.
Yeah, this guy probably kicks the shit out of you.
Harrington just punching the baby.
Yeah, I mean, don't punch the baby.
Look at him, he's huge.
Yeah, that's maybe not. Wait, who was the last guy Harrington fought? He fought when you fought Butterly, right? Who
did Harrington fought Gio Perez.
Oh, Alex Stein. No. I'm retarded. Yeah, Alex Stein was the last one. Right.
Oh, I think he's there.
An Alex Stein rematch, maybe I could see that.
Honestly, an Alex Stein rematch, I think,
like Alex too.
I thought Harrington got gypped in that fight, if I remember correctly. That I thought Harrington, I had him winning on the scorecards. I think a rematch with that was a competitive fight. Alex Stein is, I think, as big a name as you're going to find.
And I know you want that win back, Harrington.
There you have it.
Harrington's crying in fear right now.
I would love to fight him again. I just for fun. I really like Alex. The man has had a heart attack since the last time we fought.
Did he have a heart attack?
Yeah.
All right. Then that
all right. Now you have a chance, Harrington.
Yeah. Well, if he's dead, I'm the one who put him in the hospital.
You're going to hit him twice. Once to kill him and then once to bring him back to life again.
They call this one the flatliner and the resuscitator.
Flatline.
Harrington wants to give him a two-piece and a biscuit, but he ate it.
Too bad. He ate it on the drive over. He had a two-piece and a biscuit waiting for him. But goddamn, he smelled it in the car. You got excited.
Oh, shit.
And then when you throw up, you give it to him. Here's your two-piece and a biscuit.
Yeah, Harrington, maybe I'll fight you and Figs together. What about a two-on-one match at Skankfest?
You think you could take on both of us?
150%.
No, yeah. Lewis, it's 200%. You have to take on both of them. You can't only be one and a half of them.
Which one are you more worried about? Because you're only 50% worried about Figs.
I mean, I swear to God, I really mean that. With genuine ease, I feel like I could take you and Figs on.
Lewis, now you're talking about the fight we all want to see.
Yeah, dude, you're not wrong.
I swear to God, if you and Figs you guys can gain as much weight or lose as much weight as you want, I will take you both at the same time.
But well, by the way, you can't, Lewis, do you that?
Are you going to start adding rules? Like they can't get behind you or something like that?
They can do whatever they want. They can do anything they want.
Dude, Lewis is going to just get hit in the side and back of the head until he falls.
Lewis, what's making me laugh so hard about this is a part of me, I'd say more, probably a majority of me, thinks you could handle this pretty easily, and it's going to be funny when I bet heavy and then she's come out and just get punched from behind.
Dude, them jumping me is so funny.
Just kicking the shit out of you. And it's like, we all realized immediately, he goes, oh yeah, I guess there was no chance that was going to work out good.
There's, I'm letting you know, here's the thing. I know that I can crush Harrington with 2 to 3 punches.
Mm-hmm.
I know this for a fact. Okay. Just crush him.
You're going to fold him over and then deal
Fix
with Figs?
Figs has never fought before. I mean,
in his life.
What? I mean, maybe he's gotten into a fist fight or two in his life, but that doesn't mean boxing. Like, boxing is a very specific thing. Like, to be honest with you, I'll throw in Gio Perez. I'll do 3 of them. I'm not even kidding about this.
Buddy.
No.
That's a good idea. Throwing Gio Perez also.
Lewis, put this in writing. Right.
It'll
now.
Look like, you know that, you know, there's that video of like those weird shaped hillbillies that always do dances and shit. You know what I'm talking about? There's like a fat guy and then a really skinny guy with a big neck.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. All right.
This is something we should explore.
Yeah, this is one to think about. This is one dead thing ass. To think about.
I'm dead ass. So, Harrington, if you and Figs want to fight me, because I'm not going to fight a real fight at Skankfest. I'm not going to fight anything that like I have to like commit to the point where I'm like,
I'm not going to have anything I have to figure out or train or get in shape for. I'll just fight 3 guys.
No, I'll say 2. I mean, honestly, I genuinely do believe that I could beat the 3 of them, but I'll say 2 because that'll be more fun.
This just makes more sense, and it's hilarious.
Ah, give us Gio. What does Gio even matter?
Gio's actually probably, out of the 3 of you guys, the best fighter.
I don't...
Lewis.
I don't know, man. Harrington and him...
They slap fought.
I know, but...
We slap fought. I made contact 1 time, and I saw water forming up in his eyes.
He was
like
much less aggressive than I thought he was going to be, Gio.
Well, he is a waterhead.
Bit of a waterhead, that kid. Oh, we'll see how it goes. The challenge is down. Does Figs come back?
Does Figs fucking want to get this heat?
Does he want to catch them hands? We'll see. We'll find out later in Legion of Skanks. The drama rages on. Thank you all for listening. It's always a fun time, guys. Flies by.
Always a blast. That was a fun
always
one.
A blast. Lewis, you got to go catch a motherfucking flight.
I do.
We'll catch you guys next week. Our stand show. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with 3 C's.
Who else be fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you ever try to watch a retard draw a swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
It's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.